Visiting here this morning, welcome. Last week we had a teen challenge here, and it's always an amazing time to hear the testimonies, to hear what God is doing in not only in their lives, but a reminder to ourselves about God's amazing grace, His forgiveness to us offered through His Son, and it's always good to be reminded of that. We don't just need Teen Challenge to come. Each of us can be reminded on a regular basis of God's forgiveness to us, that it's been freely given to us because of Jesus. Take the most horrific thing that you could think of, the most horrendous thing that could have been done to you, or maybe you've done to someone, or just in the world. You could take that most horrific thing, or maybe the most innocent white little lie that you've told, and realize that everything has been washed clean because of Jesus and His blood. That our past is forgiven, that we've been redeemed and rescued and restored, and we're being renewed. No matter where we've come from in our past or who we were, we now belong to the Lord. And He redeems us. And He who began a good work in us will complete it as we continue to trust Him, to step out in faith, to allow Him to heal our hearts. It's always good to be reminded of that, that we don't take it for granted, but we rest in it, knowing our salvation is secure in Christ, that it's not based on works, but that works come from faith and the fact that we have been redeemed, that we now belong to the family of God. It's always good to be reminded of that. It should excite us. And often we are good at allowing God to love us and understanding that we love Him. But sometimes in the process of being reminded of His forgiveness to us, we can still struggle to give forgiveness to those around us, maybe those who have hurt us. There can be sometimes a break between loving God and, again, loving people, as we're called to do, every one of us. And so this morning, I want to bring a little challenge and a reminder of forgiveness. I've been reading some books recently. It takes me a little while to get through them. But I was reading a book that just kind of had me all over the place emotionally. I was challenged. I was offended. I was overwhelmed, understanding where I could see God's direction and His providence involved in this life of a couple who were arrested in China. And I'm reading through this book, and one moment I'm crying, and the next moment I'm upset, and I was upset at the injustice that was done to this couple. And it kind of just dawned on me that I don't know if I could offer as much grace and forgiveness as they did, being in prison in China for 2 years. And then all the news that I've seen lately of children dying, often at the hands of stupid adult choices. I'll just say that. And it shook me. And I thought, could I offer the forgiveness I know that the Lord calls me to? And He just reminded me of His grace and His mercy and His word. And so this morning, I want to briefly take a look at forgiveness. Take a look at the fact that He calls us to offer mercy and grace to those around us. And that if we have a revelation of His forgiveness to us, that it could actually help us treat others better. So, Father, I thank You for this day. Again, I pray that our hearts would be open and softened, that You'd help us to understand and grasp how deep and how wide Your love is for us, and the forgiveness that You give us, or that You call us to give out to others. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll try to define it today. I'll take a look at some myths. I'll try not to pace too much, but I'll take a look at some myths, have some ideas, and close with a story, personal story. There are many different words, Greek words, for the same word forgive or to forgive. This idea of In Scripture, often when we see the word forgive in English, there could be multiple words behind it in the Greek language. And so I'm just going to focus on a few of them this morning. In Luke 6:37, New Living Translation, it says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven." This word here, it means to free fully, to release, to pardon. Metaphorically, it means to overlook something. So to overlook an offense. Does that make sense? So that word to me means to free fully, to free someone fully, to release them, to pardon them. Metaphorically, it carries the idea of overlooking an offense. Again, we know that love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers over offense. The Amplified puts it this way. Again, just with this understanding, to free fully, it's with no strings attached. Amplified says, "Acquit and forgive and release. Give up resentment, let it drop, and you will be acquitted, forgiven, and released." So it draws the meaning out there. The second Greek word is found in Colossians and Ephesians, the same word, and other verses that would be similar to Colossians 3:13 and Ephesians 4:32. It says, "Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." In Ephesians, similar, instead, "Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Again, same English word, forgiveness, to forgive. But the Greek word here, it has a little different meaning. It means to grant a favor, as in kindness, with the idea like grace, unmerited favor. There's this idea that you bestow it freely from your heart, favor towards another person. Willingly. This idea to be gracious, and again, just like the other ones, to pardon someone. The Amplified puts it this way, "Be gentle and forbearing with one another. If anyone has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against one another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so you must also forgive." Again, there's this idea from your own will, you're not forced to forgive. You freely bestow favor towards someone who's offended you. Ephesians 4:32 in the Amplified says, "And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, and loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ has forgiven you." And so again, just think about that for a moment. There's this idea to freely release someone, no strings attached. This idea to overlook an offense, coupled with the understanding to, from your own heart, willfully choose to bestow favor on someone who's offended you. With the idea, again, to pardon them. And then there's a third Greek word found in Matthew and Mark. Again, elsewhere, but this isn't an exhaustive run through Scripture this morning. It says, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." In Mark 11:25, again, these are heavy verses. "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Again, there's a weightiness to them because there's the seriousness of forgiveness. How it's not something that's light in the sense of it's not just added to everything else in being a Christian. It's actually foundational to receiving God's forgiveness and giving forgiveness out. It's foundational. It's not related to salvation as in works, But it's understanding if we are ministers of reconciliation, going into the world around us as ministers of reconciliation, continuing the ministry of Jesus, forgiveness has to be part of who we are. But often, as human beings, we do struggle. We love God, but sometimes we struggle to love others, especially if they've hurt us. And so this morning, this is just a reminder that God does call us to forgive. And we'll walk through that, and every circumstance is different, but the bottom line is forgiveness is forgiveness. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Here in Matthew and in Mark, the word means to let go or be free from one's possession or power. It again, metaphorically, it means to be released from the obligation to exact punishment for a debt or an offense. So it means that you are released and you've released the offender. You've been released to exact a punishment for a debt or an offense. Again, it also means to pardon. So it comes with the idea that to forgive sin is not to disregard them and do nothing about them, but to liberate a person from them, their guilt, and their power. So this idea that when you forgive someone, you liberate them from the power of sin. You yourself are also given freedom when you release someone through forgiveness. Are you following me? Again, I don't usually read so many multiple verses, but I do like how the Amplified brings it out this morning. It says, if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And then in Mark, it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Again, as we read the scriptures often, there's a seriousness here. And we can sometimes read this and dismiss it because we go, well, our salvation isn't dependent upon that. But if our hearts are hard and we don't receive God's forgiveness in the first place, that's a different issue. But if it wasn't for us, it wouldn't be in the scriptures, in the sense of in the gospels and throughout the rest of the epistles and other letters, there's a challenge for all of us to forgive one another, to forgive those who have offended us, to remember that God has forgiven us and so we forgive. And so it's a challenge, I think, that we can't do in our own strength. We have to allow God to work in our hearts. Allow his forgiveness to work through us and in us so that it goes out to those around us. I don't think any one of us can escape being unintentionally or intentionally hurt by someone. Just think of certain circumstances, current circumstances. Think of things that maybe your parents did or said, and you could be older right now and remembering things your parents didn't do for you. Promises broken, things left undone, things that you held on to that weren't really an issue, but over time they've just become something that's there. You can think of any kind of circumstance, and at the same time, I don't think any one of us can escape the idea that maybe we've unintentionally or intentionally hurt someone through our words, our actions, or just our non-actions when we said we would do something but didn't. And so it kind of puts us all in the same boat. Either we've been offended or we've offended someone else or we've harmed someone some way, somewhere. Aren't you glad for forgiveness? because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we didn't deserve it in that sense, God sent his only son to redeem us. Mercy and grace was given to us through faith. And so there's a challenge that if I'm speaking, you know, right now, and the scriptures I've read and the different things I've talked about, if situations come up that make you feel sad or angry or hurt, or you're reminded of different things, it may still mean that you have to continue to forgive the offender. It reminds me of when I first became a Christian. Again, 20 years ago, but when I first became a Christian, and I dealt with a lot of anger, I've shared that before, but often my anger would overwhelm me. And prior to coming to Jesus, if I thought about any circumstance, even if it happened 5 years beforehand, it would instantly enrage me. Nostrils would flare, my eyes would become steely, and if, even though I never really fought anybody, I would tense and I would just want to rip things in half. I punched trees, I moved cars, I threw barrels of water down the street like Donkey Kong in a lunatic rage. And so that's the kind of thing that would happen. And then when I came to Jesus, I just said, Lord, I forgive those people who've harmed me and bullied me as a teenager. And I released them. And then if I happened to think about the circumstance, it didn't cause the same physical response anymore. God began to heal and work. But it wasn't until I actually, from my mouth, said, Lord, I release them. I forgive them for what they've done, even though they may have no idea that they harmed me, because that's what bullies do sometimes. They don't know that they're bullying. I don't think any one of us can escape that kind of circumstance or situation. Or maybe you've been a bully. I don't know. There are myths that can kind of cloud our idea of forgiveness, maybe stop us from wanting to really offer it. If pain isn't dealt with, or unmet expectations aren't dealt with, in the sense of walking through it, allowing the Lord to bring healing, if you repress it, it's destructive. Because repressed anger is destructive to your body. Repressed anger and can turn to bitterness, and bitterness destroys your life and relationships and marriages and so on. Bitterness is destructive. And anything, when you repress it, and you repress any emotions and don't walk through them or work through them, maybe with counseling, with prayer, with multiple of being able to come in fellowship and relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, then repressed and hidden emotion can destroy you. I know this might sound that God has been working as I've been reading these different books and being challenged, going, could I offer mercy and grace like I know Scripture calls me to, and allowing the Lord to re-examine my heart. It's important to do. So again, some of the myths. I didn't make the list up, but I've expounded on it. It's not exhaustive by any means. But one of the things is that we can often think forgiveness is magic, is magical. We can think that one, when we offer the words, I forgive you, or we've forgiven someone in our hearts, or they've said, you know, I forgive you, or will you forgive me? We think that just like the snap of a finger, that all parties are as if nothing ever happened. But forgiveness isn't magical. It takes time. It takes time to walk through, especially if something that was deep and hurtful or abusive. And just so you know, again, forgiveness is not reconciliation. We'll talk about that at the end. But we can think that it's just this kind of like flip of the switch, that it's sudden and instantaneous, and sometimes it works like that, but when things are deep, it can take time. Depending on how deep it is, forgiveness has to be offered again and again and again. Does that make sense? If you have an outline, again, forgiveness is magic is the first myth. Second one is forgiveness is condoning, meaning that we think that if we forgive someone, that we approve of what they've done to us or someone else. So there's this myth that can stop us because we think, well, we can't forgive because what they did wasn't right. The thing is, whatever they did, because any type of hurt or harm against someone else, physical, emotional, any kind of abuse, is wrong. Sin is sin. And sin destroys relationships and causes hurt, but forgiveness actually brings freedom. So we don't condone what they've done. We acknowledge what's happened. That's how we walk through the process of being hurt. We don't hide things and put masks over things. We allow God to work in our hearts and walk through the circumstances in our lives. Again, I know this is this morning a little more blanket. If you were talking with me in my office individually, it would be a little different conversation. But it's understanding that when you forgive, it's not that you condone what's been done to you or someone else. Again, you are not a victim. You belong to the King. He fights for you. He holds others accountable for harm done to you. But sometimes it takes place at the end of time. Read the Psalms, understanding how David felt sometimes and how the other psalmists felt when they would look around their nation. Third myth is forgiveness is like trying to forget. There's a mindset that says, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget what you've done to me. But it's dangerous to actually link the two together. Because again, this, if you link the two together, there's this idea that in order to deal with whatever harm has occurred against you, you have to deny that it happened. And again, when you deny anything like that, it doesn't allow God to work through it. You can try and hide behind it. And again, denied anger can lead to bitterness, and bitterness can cause destruction. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, well, I don't feel bitter. I'm not angry. But sometimes we struggle to understand what forgiveness can look like when we release it. And so that's kind of what I'm going through this morning. God forgets our sin in that sense. Wipes the slate clean. Doesn't remember it anymore. Doesn't bring it up to accuse us with it. But when we forgive someone, we still remember. And as God works in our hearts over time and brings healing, the memory is not as dominant. Do you follow me there? It's not as dominant. So sometimes what can happen is the only way it comes up in memory is if you choose to bring it up because God has brought healing. It's like when I think about what was done to me 20 years ago when I was in high school, and some of the things that I have walked through where I've been hurt, it no longer elicits an angry response in me because God has brought healing. I still remember it, but I've released the offender from what they've done to me. And it's not that time has healed it, God has healed it. Because time doesn't heal anything as far as emotions are concerned. God heals as we bring everything to Him and say, Lord, I can't do this. So again, forgiveness is magic. Forgiveness is condoning. Forgiveness is trying to forget. Forgiveness is like trying to be nice. That's another myth. In the sense of we confuse forgiveness with being nice. As Canadians, we struggle with being overtly nice. I don't know if that's the right word, but sometimes we're more nice than is normal. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to cause unnecessary conflict, and so we don't do anything. Again, that goes back into denial and repression of things. Because if we go, we know there's an issue. We know we've been hurt. We know we've been offended. We know something has occurred, but we go, no, don't want to cause any problems. We're just going to leave it alone. And so then we fail to release them in our hearts. We fail to go to God and talk about it to him because we just go, no, everything's good. We'll just be nice. That's a myth in the sense of forgiveness doesn't always look nice. Sometimes it's messy, just like mercy is messy. Forgiveness is letting people off the hook. Again, sometimes we think that if somebody has hurt us or harmed someone else, and we happen to be carrying an offense that's not ours to really be even meddling in, sometimes we can have this idea that if we offer forgiveness, we just let them off the hook. The thing is, vengeance belongs to God and not us. There is no room for us to exact revenge. Because if we do, we actually take God's authority. We usurp his authority in holding mankind accountable for their actions. And so, again, there's this idea that because we think that forgiveness lets somebody off the hook, we might withhold it. But God says, no, I'm the one who works through their lives. I'm the one who brings vengeance in that sense, but Romans calls us to actually heap coals of kindness on those who would be our enemies in that sense, to treat them with love. And the last myth this morning is forgiveness means I have to trust. Forgiveness is one way. In the sense of forgiveness is sometimes between you and the Lord saying, I release them, I forgive them. The offender may not ever know or not ever need to know that there's been an issue, especially if it was unintentional. I'll just use an example. Let's say Linda did something unintentional and it offended me. I use Linda because I don't think Linda's done anything to me that's ever been offensive. But understanding, if she did something that she was completely unaware of and it caused something in my heart, there'd be no point in me going to her to say, I forgive you. And she's like, well, I didn't, what did I do? Because if I've released it between me and the Lord and I've released her, then it's done. Because you have to think that, again, if somebody has passed away and you still have to offer forgiveness because you're holding unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart towards somebody who's died, you can't go to them and forgive them, but you can still allow that to damage your heart by holding on to it after somebody is gone. And so that's what I mean. Forgiveness is one way in that sense. Reconciliation is two-way. There's always other people involved in the sense of going, a relationship has been severed. Forgiveness can be offered, but reconciliation isn't automatic. In fact, reconciliation may not actually ever happen. But forgiveness always brings freedom. Forgiveness always allows you to walk in freedom. But it may not always mean reconciliation. If there was a relationship or a friendship that could be toxic, and there was some type of offense or abuse or pain, there was no biblical reason to send the person back into that relationship when the offender has not acknowledged that there's sin and wrong or willing to work through it. There's no reason to ever force reconciliation. It can't happen because it's not actually true. You can't force reconciliation. You can't force forgiveness. That's why it has to be done freely and willingly from our hearts. Sometimes we think in that myth sense that if we forgive, it means we automatically have to trust someone. If trust is broken, there's no easy way to restore trust. And then again, looking back at reconciliation, sometimes reconciliation isn't possible. Again, if somebody has died, or there's some other type of situation where the other person in the offense has said, no, I don't care, I'm done. But you've released them. You've done your part. You've done what Jesus has called you to do. You've forgiven them. And you may have to forgive them many, many times, but reconciliation may not occur. Are you with me? But again, forgiveness always brings freedom. Brings freedom to your own heart. Releases them from prison of their own sin too. But they may not even see that. If we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, bitterness in our lives, if we hold on to it, even if no one else is aware of it, it will still cause destruction in your heart. It will still cause things to not be where they should be. And it can continue to harden your heart in a way that moves you away from the Lord. So forgiveness is, it's not just an add-on. So I'm going to look at three things, and then I'll close. Again, keeping in mind the Greek definitions that we kind of went through. Keeping in mind, forgiveness means to fully pardon, to fully free someone with no strings attached. The idea from your own heart, willingly and readily offer favor. Overlook an offense. To release them from the guilt and shame and power of sin. Keep those in mind. So first of all, forgiveness is renouncing our right to resentment. So the dictionary says resentment is bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly. So we release our right for resentment. It's part of what forgiveness is. We can feel often that we have a right for resentment because of what's been done to us or what somebody else has done to somebody else, that we might feel we have a right to hold that, but again, vengeance doesn't belong to us. It only belongs to the Lord. And so in our hearts, we have to go, Lord, help me surrender. Like if you can't forgive someone, the Lord can help you do that. He can heal your heart. He can allow you to walk through, but you can't in your own strength, in humanity, you can't. But again, I take back what I said at the beginning, when I said take any the most vile and horrific thing you could think of or have ever seen in the news and understand that sin, that sin and the littlest of things of lying or stealing something, sin is sin. Consequences are different, but sin in the eyes of the Lord are the same. It separates us from Him, separates us from one another, and only Jesus can reconcile that. So we have to keep that in mind, understanding that anyone can freely come to the Lord in repentance and He forgives. Forgiveness is renouncing our right to resentment, letting go of the right for revenge. Secondly, forgiveness is canceling a debt. It expresses a reality that though someone owes me a debt, it removes my ability to take back the debt. Try that again. So forgiveness is canceling a debt. It's understanding that though someone owes me a debt, it's not that I ignore the debt is there, that I pretend it's not owed. It's that I release them from paying it back, and I release myself from ever having to collect it. And, I mean, we can take a look at that in financial terms, but it's not talking about that specifically. But to help see that, I mean, let's say Carson, I owed him, well, actually, let's say I lent him money. Let's say I lent Carson $3,000. And over a period of time, I haven't told my wife, and she's upset that I would do that foolishness. And I have lent this to Carson, but he's keeps coming back with reasons why he can't pay me back. And I'm faced with a choice at the end of it to either forgive his debt or take legal action against him. Now, scriptures would deter me from taking legal action against my fellow brother in Christ. And so I have to be able to work it out, and I should be compelled to wipe the debt clean. However, trust would be broken, meaning I wouldn't freely give Carson access to any funds from anywhere in that sense. Again, I use that because I don't think I'd ever have to lend Carson money at any point. But it's just an example. So that idea of canceling a debt, wiping it clean, going, I know it's there, but I refuse to collect it. That's what part of forgiveness is. And the third thing is forgiveness is pardoning the offender. It means not demanding punishment, even though punishment is clearly noted. Just like, again, the idea of an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that kind of idea. But instead, punishment is not given. Instead, it's removed, and mercy and grace is given freely from your heart. That's the idea of pardoning the offender. Again, not ignoring that offense has happened, not ignoring that punishment should happen, but realizing that mercy and grace override it. Again, they're issues of the heart. They're things that we can only walk through as if when Jesus continues to work in our own hearts. I'm going to read a larger chunk of scripture, and I'm going to close with a quote. But in Luke 17, 1-10, we've looked at it in various ways before, from discipleship to servanthood to obedience. We've looked at it throughout the 4 years, just in little different snippets. But in the Amplified, it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, traps set to entice to sin are sure to come. But woe to him by or who through they come. It would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea than he should cause to sin or to be a snare for one of these little ones, as in lowly in rank or influence. Pay attention and always be on guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins or misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feels sorry for having sinned, forgive him. And even if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, I am sorry, you must forgive him or give up resentment and consider the offense recalled and annulled. Again, that's the idea that the offense has been recalled. It's annulled as if it didn't exist. Then in verse 7, it says, will any man of you who has a servant plowing and tending sheep say to that man when he comes in from the field, come at once, take your place at the table? Will he not instead tell him to get my supper ready, gird yourself and serve me while I eat and drink? Then afterwards yourself shall eat and drink. Is the servant grateful and does he praise, is the servant praised because he did what he was ordered to do? Even so on your part, when you have done everything that was assigned and commanded you, say, we are unworthy servants, possessing no merit, for we have not begun beyond our obligation. We have merely done what was our duty to do. Graham Bretherick, in his book, Healing Life's Hurts, I recommend it if you are looking for a book to help walk through issues on forgiveness and anger. But he says in Luke, Jesus says that you have not done a great thing by forgiving your brother over and over again. You have only done your duty. You have only done what is expected. Just as you've been forgiven but didn't deserve it, so your forgiveness of others isn't because they deserve to be forgiven. Because we've received mercy, we extend mercy. As we received forgiveness, we extend forgiveness. As we received God's grace, so we extend his grace to others around us. We are to function with a servant attitude, and our Christian duty is to forgive. Forgiveness is commanded. It is not a benevolent extra that demonstrates our spiritual maturity. So again, it's not an add-on in our life. it's foundational. It's part of the basic duty that we are obligated to do, is to forgive those who trespassed against us. It's not just an add-on that says I'm spiritually mature because I can forgive. It's actually foundational to being a follower of Jesus, is being able to forgive those who've harmed you or offended you. Just as the natural response of a servant is to serve, so also the natural response of a Christian is to forgive. When we forgive our brother or sister 70 times 7, we have only fulfilled our basic duty. When we are faced with the truth of Scripture, we realize we have a choice. Will we forgive or hold on to our grudges? Forgiveness can be learned. No one is exempt or can escape the idea of having unforgiveness in your heart. No one. Not pastors, not leaders, not seniors, not children. We all have the ability to choose to hold a grudge or to release someone. All of us do.